Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Numbers chapter 4. And in Numbers chapter 4, we see the duties of the Levites, and they are being assigned the different tribes, so to speak, of the Levites are being given responsibility for the tabernacle and the moving of it. And each group from the Levites is given specific tasks. I really think it's interesting, you know, when this chapter begins, it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron." So this is coming from God, and God is very organized, and he does not want his tabernacle to be treated vainly, as unholy or irresponsibly. And imagine for a moment, you know, you have this tent-like structure, and as a nation, you're moving through the desert, camping in different areas. And what if everyone was just like, let's just take it down, we'll put it back up. And there was not organization about who was going to do what, who was going to carry what. Things could get lost. Things could get stolen. Some of the, you know, I mean, the things used in the holy and most holy place are sacred. They're special. God wants them handled with care. He wants them wrapped appropriately for moving. And he even assigns in this chapter, it says that, you know, put down who's going to hold what item, so that there was like accountability as far as who was going to carry what. And that way, if something was missing, we'd know exactly who to talk to. So I just think it's really interesting to know how responsible, detailed, and how God wants his stuff treated as holy. That's one thing. Another thing that's interesting is, the Jews had, I think, an age where they considered there to be greater responsibility, and that age began at the age of 30. And, you know, Jesus didn't begin, by the way, his ministry as a Jew to, you know, take on the role of being the Messiah and begin his ministry when we read, you know, after he got baptized by John the Baptist, he was 30 years old. And isn't it interesting that in order for the Levites to be responsible for the ones who are, you know, carrying and moving the utensils, they wanted to know who was of age 30. And it seemed like age 30 to 50 was like the prime responsible years and the responsibility years. So I guess I need to be retired since I'm over 50 now. Well, anyways, that's what all they wanted to number the ones who are going to be entered the service from 30 to 50. It's interesting that that coincides with Jesus. Another thing that we see that echoes the teaching of chapter 3 is that if they did not handle things rightly, or they touched the holy objects, or they weren't wrapped correctly, if someone was unholy with the things, they could die. We saw that a couple of different times. It says in verse 20, "But they shall not go in and see the holy objects, even for a moment, or they will die." So it's like, don't mess around with God's holy and most holy and holy places. Make sure you honor them as holy. You do what you're assigned to do, and you don't do what you're not assigned to do. And, you know, we saw this quite a bit in chapter 3, how lay people had no role at all in the tabernacle, and only the Levites had a role. And even them, it was very specific what their role could be. And, you know, priests could do things that the general Levite could not do. And what's incredible today, and we talked about this at great length in Numbers 3, is just how we've been given the privilege to be God's family, to be his kingdom of priests. And the fact that he set apart his temple as holy and all the belongings in it, and now we don't have a temple and we don't have those kinds of belongings in the same way, but now we've become the temple of the Lord. And if there was a responsibility to be holy with all these utensils and moving, how much of a responsibility is it for us to be the people of God and to be holy as he is holy? And, you know, praise God that we have his grace and that Jesus died to forgive us of our sin. And, you know, that's something that we still make mistakes now, and we need his grace. But I think there is a responsibility and an accountability on our lives today to seek to rid ourselves of uncomplacency and of sin, and to live godly and honorable lives as we serve as God's kingdom priests. It's such a special thing that we have, not only being ushered into the family of God, this is our identity. We're a child of God. He has said, you know what? You are worthy of me to live inside of. I have chosen to come and live inside of you and to strengthen you and to help you to be my people and to be holy and to serve me. And, you know, I feel like every day we need to remember who God is and who we are, you know, to see him high and lifted up and him as our Father, our Savior, but then also not in a pride sense at all, but in a privileged sense for us to know who we are, that we are part of the Abrahamic family. We've been grafted into God's family, that we are a son of God, that we are a temple of the living God, that we have been forgiven, that we have God's grace, that we are blessed by God, that we have his favor. We have his blessing upon us. We have received his forgiveness. We have received spiritual gifts. We have God's grace is considered God's power at work in us. It's how different things are from Old Testament to New Testament. We are his people. Once we were not his people, now we are his people. We are his treasured possession. We are the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. It's like as though he is our husband and we his bride. There are great promises to the church. There is a great love that God has for those who have come to know Jesus. And the promises are grand and beautiful and wonderful and are all the way to eternal life and our future home. And, you know, I think even when it comes to eschatology, one thing that I'd want people to think about is have those who don't think that we're going to be saved from the tribulation, have we really embraced what God has said about his church and what God has said about believers in Jesus and the special privileged position that we've been given to be part of God's family? And take a look at all the promises that God has given his family and the love, the great love with that he loves us. And I believe when you see all of that, and then you see all the other evidence for God saving us from the wrath to come and saving us from the hour of trial and comfort one another with these words, you see that a pre-tribulation position lines up with the great love that God has for us. And I really think studying the end times has really helped me to see the love of God for me and for his church. And I believe it's grand and it's different. Remember, when in the Old Testament, what we've talked about, especially last week, or yesterday in Numbers chapter 3, I'm echoing that a little bit this morning, is that God had an original design for Israel to be his treasured possession, to be his royal priesthood. And because of sin and he couldn't trust them, it got removed and it was only given to the Levites to be priests, and only some priests, only some Levites were priests. So there was a hierarchy and there was what you could and couldn't do, and laymen couldn't come near God. What I'm trying to say to you is that the church is a special dispensation of God. The Jews didn't even see it. And all who have come to be born again in Jesus, God is now living inside of. And it's a special, privileged, elevated position in God. We are highly favored by God. So if you recognize how the promises of God to the church, it changes how you feel. And I just feel like we need to wake up every day and know the love of God, know that we are the bride of Christ, know that we've been forgiven, know that we have promises of eternal life, know that we've been given grace. Look up the word grace and look at all the things we've been given with God's grace. It's not just his mercy. It's not just his forgiveness, but it's his favor, his blessing, his power at work in the church. Hallelujah. And that we've all received because God chose to send his son and usher in a new family through those who believe in him, and we are part of that family. So why am I talking all about that when we talk about the duties of the Levites? Because they were given special provision in this season to be the ones who acted on behalf of God and operated that tabernacle. But there is no tabernacle other than the one that's in heaven. And Jesus Christ entered through the veil of the heavenly tabernacle. And when he did that, after he died on the cross, the veil in Jerusalem temple got torn in two, showing that now the way has been opened to God. And we're in a new season, a new dispensation, and we have a new closeness and proximity to God. And although there was this separateness and who would handle the tabernacle then, now everyone who believes in Jesus is the tabernacle of God, is where God's presence dwells. It is quite amazing. And I really feel like the majority of the church in the world today does not embrace the favor and blessing and privileged position that we have in Jesus Christ. And when we see all these differences and special things that the Levites were able to do, now God has raised us all up to be his kingdom priests. Hallelujah. I think it's worthy to talk about again, and that's what I did today. Thank you, Jesus, for making us your special chosen people and your kingdom priests. What a blessing we have from you. God bless you all.